Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Matt Clauser Varsity Show on live in this time from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, my hometown. It's week 5 of the NFL season, and we're trying to get my podcast back underway, and it's also the fourth city where I've been doing broadcast from. First 2 weeks in Prague and Budapest. Last week I was in Washington for the games, could not do the podcast, and now I'm home in Philadelphia before I take off back across the pond on Tuesday. First of all, before we get the show started, it's running a little late into it, so I have to do a little bit of a quick one. It's a 30-minute show. No one knows that I'm live right now, so I'm just going to post the link after the show is over. So let's get right into it. But first of all, let's thank my loyal listeners, Blog Talk Radio and Al Gore, for inventing the internet. Without this, I would not be able to do these wonderful shows. So, looking back into week 4, where I did not do a podcast last week due to travel issues and just traveling all around the world last week. So, finished up last week at 8 wins, 7 losses, and 1 tie. There were some games that I was surprised that I won, some games that I was surprised that I lost, as usual, and the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday night. I picked they would play the Washington Redskins, and the Redskins went toe-to-toe with them, much like the Philadelphia Eagles did, but the Redskins lasted a little longer. And they lost the game 29-20. However, the game should have ended when it was 23-20. Sorry, Kansas City should have won only by 23-20. I took the Redskins on the road getting 7 points, but then with 4 seconds to go, Washington gets the ball back after the game-winning field goal, the potential game-winning field goal by the Kansas City kicker, and then Washington tries the last second reverse rollouts and all these laterals behind the line trying to create some chaos and to maybe get score a touchdown. It failed miserably. Kansas City forced a fumble on the quarterback Kirk Cousins, and then the Kansas City Chiefs rolled into the end zone, winning the game 29-20 there for covering the points. But looking around the league last week, games that I won, Chicago went into Green Bay. On the Thursday night game, Green Bay easily covered 7 points, 135-14. I picked this. Saints were favored by 4, and they easily won 20-0. I picked the LA Rams, getting 8 points in Dallas, and not only did the Rams cover, they won the game outright 35-30. I took Detroit on the road against Minnesota. Minnesota's favored by 2. Detroit wins outright 14-7. Houston throttles Tennessee while getting in Houston, 57-14. The Mercurial Jacksonville Jaguars go into the Jets, getting 3 points, and they lose by 3, which means it was a push. Other games I won, I picked Tampa over the Giants outright. They were actually favored like 2.5, and they win by 3. I picked San Francisco, who was getting 6.5 points in San Francisco, kind of their another home deep home favorite. Arizona struggled to the 18-15 win. Means the 49ers covered, and then Seattle just throttled Indianapolis, looking to getting their feet back under them, throttling them on Sunday night, 46-14. Those were the wins. The losses were for Carolina, beating New England, 33-30. New England was favored by 9. I picked the Patriots. I lost the Cincinnati game, where they were favored by 3, going playing in Cleveland, and throttled the poor hapless Browns. Pittsburgh covered against Baltimore. I lost that thing. Baltimore could take Pittsburgh on. They're kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team, the Ravens this year. Also, look at the Buffalo Bills, the 3-1 Buffalo Bills, who should be 4-0, go into Atlanta, getting 8 points. And not only do they cover, they win 23-17. And we'll explain why Buffalo is having such good success against NFC South teams. Also lost the Eagles. The Chargers are favored by 2 points in L.A. That game pretty much turned into a home game for the Eagles. If you listen to the crowd and how well the Eagles people showed up out there in L.A. in this new, not the new stadium, but the new L.A. Chargers playing in the MLS stadium where they only seat 27,000. The Eagles held off a late charge by the Chargers to win the game outright 26-24. I thought the Chargers would win that game. Other games we lost, Denver, Oakland went into Denver getting 3 points, and Denver wins in a defensive battle 16-10. And of course, we talked about the Kansas City Washington matchup. But let's go back and see going into week 5, after this week and next week, you're going to see the contenders and the pretenders really start to shake out, not in just in the sense of points picks, but you start to see round out who are the favorites in the conferences. As I mentioned on the show before, I do not think New England is a contender. They have the worst scoring defense in the NFL, which means they're giving up pretty much the most points. I mean, they're just getting throttled, and they cannot sustain that going further. They did beat Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay by 5 the other nights in Tampa Bay. The line was 5.5. I took Tampa Bay with lose by 0.5 points, so I will take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with that. But the Patriots just don't. The defending champions' defense is really not looking good at all. They did look good against inconsistent Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay on Thursday night, only giving up 14 points. But still, you know, they just don't look as good. I really think in the AFC, the contenders pretty much are the Chiefs and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers throttled their rival, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Chiefs. So they went into New England, destroyed New England. They beat the Eagles 27-20 at home. Then they beat the Washington Redskins. You have to say that both the Redskins and Eagles are the teams to beat in the NFC East so far this year. And they also beat the Chargers in week two. Andy Reid, they just look like a machine going forward. Andy Reid's play calling is you know, probably a little suspect, but they designed around Tyreek Hill and the other rookie running back that's escaping my name right now. Plus they have Travis Kelce, the great tight end, probably the best tight end in the NFL these days. And they're really playing at a high level. It's tough to go into Kansas City and play, and both the Eagles and the Skins went toe-to-toe with them. But the Chiefs are doing what they have to do. They have to beat these teams at home, especially even though they're out of conference wins. They do have to take care of business, and they just look like the team to beat. They actually go into Houston this weekend, which is an interesting, very interesting matchup for both the Chiefs and the Houston Texans. Kansas City is giving Houston 1.5, which means Houston's at home, much like last week. They were home underdogs with the points, but last week Houston was underdog to Tennessee, which is a different type of team than a Kansas City. I think this is going to be a huge test for both teams. I think you have Houston has a chance to, you know, cement themselves not only as the division leaders in the AFC South, they also have a chance to get a little bit of revenge on the Kansas City Chiefs, who last year went into Houston and just throttled them 27-0, I think was the score, 27-7 in the playoff game. And Houston coming off a tremendous victory against the Tennessee Titans. Now, not in the sense the Titans are a great team, but they put 57 points on the board. I mean, it's like college points. You rarely see an NFL team break 50, even with the high-scoring, high-flying offenses that you see this year. You rarely see 50. And Houston looks like they have a quarterback. You know, they drafted the national champion, Deshaun Watson, out of Clemson. And by all looks, he looks like he's picked up the offense very well. He also looks like he's a real leader. And he's also a humanitarian. He donated his first game check to the recovery efforts of Hurricane Harvey down there in Houston, which devastated that city. And that's a sign of a, you know, here's a rookie coming in and taking charge like that. And you see, much like you saw last year with the Eagles, Carson Wentz coming in right away, starting from week one, even though Deshaun Watson didn't start week one. But he's really taken, just like Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson has really taken the leadership role down there in Houston. I think for the Chiefs, you know, they played two really tough games against, like I said, the Washington Redskins last week and the Philadelphia Eagles. Going into this, and the more I talk about it, I think Kansas City is a little ripe for an upset here. I think Houston can go in there. The only thing, Houston can win, not go in there, but Houston can win at home. I think the Kansas City defense is still very and they could give the rookie quarterback some troubles in there. So that's a hard game to pick, and I'm talking myself in and out of what I would pick. But long story short, I think it's going to be a tough game for both teams. It's pretty much a marquee matchup of the week. Looking at the rest of the schedule going into week five, you have the LA coming all the way east to play the winless New York Giants. The New York Giants are giving them 3.5 points, and according to this, and I think that's still the line. Let me just check real quick to see what the NFL picks are. The lines are still the same. I'm sorry, I'm doing this podcast kind of a real prep time because if I did the schedule slot, it would have to be when I couldn't do it, so I just wanted to get it out of the way. It's now a 3-point game. Giants by three. I like the Chargers. I just think the Giants, the Giants offensive line is horrendous. You got a Tampa, but they also shut out their defensive stars in Joey Bosa and the linebacker Ingram. They both have no sacks against the Eagles line, so you know that they are going to be hungry going against the New York Giants offensive line that's just ineffective at this point. And as long as they can, they have no real offensive playmaker outside of Odell Beckham Jr., and he's a wide receiver. So against the Eagles, you know, the Giants can go on Bob too little too late, but that's really all they have. I think the Chargers are a more balanced team. I think they showed if you still have Phil Rivers in there, you got a little revenge factor going back to the 2004 trade between the Giants and the Chargers where they swapped Eli Manning and also Phillip Rivers. So I think the Chargers with a more balanced, a better defense can go into New York and win outright. Buffalo Bills, the 3-1 Buffalo Bills, who are one drop pass away from being 4-0, and they have to be them along with the LA Rams have to be the nice feel-good stories of the year. They go into Cincinnati and they are playing the Bengals, who seem to get some of their footing back with the destroying the Browns last week, 31-7 in Cleveland. Since he goes home, coming off an emotional, probably not an emotional win, but not a tough win for Cincinnati. And you have Buffalo, who last week went into Atlanta, you know, and they beat the defending NFC champions. They went into Carolina and they should have won that game. Like I said, they're one drop pass away from being 4-0. And Sean McDermott, the reason why Buffalo is able to have success against teams like Carolina and Atlanta is because you have Sean McDermott, the new head coach of the Buffalo Bills, who is an Andy Reid, Jim Johnson disciple. He was the defensive coordinator for Carolina for many years under Ron Rivera down there, and then the Buffalo Bills hired him. But going back to Sean McDermott's days with the Eagles, he learned under the legendary coach Jim Johnson how to play certain quarterbacks. And he understood the game plans of both Carolina and Atlanta run. He understood their offensive in and out because, you know, he faced those quarterbacks two times a year, every year that he was in Carolina. So he knew how to go in and handle Matt Ryan and Cam Newton and some other quarterbacks as well. I see them going into a Cincinnati team favored by 3. I don't know if this is when the wheels fall off for Buffalo this week. I would have to, with the points on the road, I would take Buffalo there. You have the Jets going into Cleveland. That game is now was 1.5. It's now a pick'em game at home. I think Cleveland gets off the schneid. I really want to see them get a win. There's talk that Hugh Jackson, who's 1-19, could be losing his job, which I think is a ridiculous thing. If he's going to lose that job, that would just put further chaos into the Cleveland Browns, who are trying something uniquely different with this analytics approach to the NFL. And I think he just needs more time. It's a situation like Brett Brown, the Philadelphia 76ers coach, who took the job knowing that the Sixers were doing something radical in terms of deliberately losing to keep getting high draft picks, something that the NFL is now trying to fix. And if they're successful or not, it doesn't matter. But I think what's happening, Cleveland, Hugh Jackson is the guy to right the ship and deserves to be there for a little while until he loses the team, which he's not a guy I don't think that can go really lose that kind of team. I think Cleveland wins that game. Jacksonville, the mercurial Jacksonville Jaguars, who are sort of the biggest Jekyll and Hyde team, destroying both Baltimore, which was in London, and then destroying Houston in week one, but then and also losing another game. They go into Pittsburgh, where Pittsburgh's favored by 8. I think, like I said, you're starting to see the contenders rear their heads. This is a game by 8. They have still the home crowd behind them in defense. I think Pittsburgh covers that easily. The Indianapolis Colts, after getting throttled by Seattle on Sunday night, plays the 49ers, who just, you know, they lose a tough game at home against the division rival Arizona Cardinals. Now they have to go play in Indianapolis. Indianapolis, a team that, you know, just needs to right the ship a little bit. And this is a game where I think Indianapolis wins and wins outright and covers the 1.5 points that they're favored by. Arizona comes here to Philadelphia against the Eagles. That line is still 6.5 by the Eagles. We'll talk about that in a second, what the Eagles can do in that game. We can talk about it now. There's only 12 minutes to go on the show. I think Arizona Eagles fits over the years. It's sort of like that one team. It's almost like when the Pittsburgh, Philadelphia Phillies were doing so well in those World Series runs in the mid to late 2000s. Pirates, who are not very good, always gave the Phillies fits. I think Arizona is that equivalent of them. This Eagles team is much better. I think the Eagles win the game, but I do not think they cover the points. I just don't see them beating. They haven't been able to put away teams. The Eagles are winning, which I'm obviously very happy at. They're happy about. You know, they're doing it in the air on the ground with stout defense. They're missing. The Eagles are hurt, though. They're still missing their defensive anchor in Fletcher Cox, who is out again with a calf injury. They're missing the versatile running back, Wendell Smallwood, which does kind of hurt their running game a little bit, even coming off the heels of the great game of 36 yards of the Chargers. Well, Garrett Blount's not a 100-yard rusher every week. And they have the undrafted rookie Chris Clements, who had a very nice game. But the Arizona pass defense, I mean, you're going to have the all-world Patrick Peterson out of LSU and Tyrone Mathieu, the Honey Badger, out of LSU as well, covering the Eagles' receivers. So you figure Peterson's going to be matched up against Alshon Jeffrey, which means guys like Torrey Smith have to step up. Guys like Nelson Aguilar, you see more of Mac Hollins, the rookie out of North Carolina, who's come in and has caught everything when thrown to him, albeit in a limited role. Those guys are going to have to step up with the game, and the Eagles need to get better at the screen game. They really do, to keep Arizona off balance. On the other side of the ball, Larry Fitzgerald kills the Eagles. He just kills them every time. And the offensive line of the Cardinals is not very good, but Carson Palmer is starting, you know, he's obviously showing his age, and if he's starting to be a little bit more ineffective game by game, I think the Eagles will win this game, but I don't think they cover. I think I could see it being easily like a 24-21 or 24-21 for the Eagles. Carolina, fresh off the heels of an upset going into New England last week, losing, beating the Tom Brady and the Patriots in Foxborough, 33-30, go into Detroit now, another dome team that's kind of starting to really put things together. And also you have Carolina coming off an emotional win, and then you have the controversial remarks made by Cam Newton this week about female reporters talking about routes or whatever. They have to face that. They go into a Detroit Lions team who I think should also be undefeated. And this game, I think Detroit wins this game outright, favored by 2.5 points. I really think that the Detroit Lions are the dark horse for the NFC this year. I think Atlanta's still the favorite. You still have, you know, Green Bay's also a favorite, I think, in the NFC. And then you have the Skins, the Eagles, Dallas, the second-tier teams. But I think Detroit really is putting together. They've really played well ever since, strangely enough, since their all-wide receiver retired a couple of years ago, Megatron, Calvin Johnson. They seem to be a more balanced offense, and Matt Stafford is really taking that team by the control. They also have a good defense. I see Carolina with an offense that's a bit unpredictable and a little bit off balance, not able to go on the road, especially after the win over New England, in New England, going in Detroit, and also the controversy created by their quarterback Cam Newton this week, which is a distraction. It shouldn't be, but it is. The other most surprising team in the NFL, the great story, has to be the LA Rams. They're at home in Seattle, and it's really a chance for the LA Rams to make a big statement in the division. They're 3-1. They've only lost to the Washington Redskins so far. They go into Dallas, and beat that Dallas pretty much the week last week by Jared Goff and their great running back who's on my fantasy, Todd Gurley. And Seattle team that's just really unbalanced. They played a whole they did get their offense back under them. Russell Wilson took over the game with both his feet and his passing. But the LA Rams are definitely not the Indianapolis Colts. And you see Seattle struggle. You know, they struggled against teams like Tennessee, and they struggled against San Francisco. So the Rams are coming off a high, and it's not the same as going into Dallas and beating Dallas is a huge win. But I think this team has just a brand-new energy, a brand-new culture, and they look excited to play football. And Seattle sort of, you know, they're the same, you know, they're getting older. Their offensive line isn't so good, and the Rams' defense is a lot better than Indianapolis. And I think the Rams cover this game as well. The Oakland Raiders go in. Baltimore goes to Oakland getting -3 points, and that's a game I just can't call right now because pretty much Oakland's quarterback is hurt again. Derek Carr's out with a back injury, some spasms or some small fracture. He's out for at least 4 to 6 weeks. And you have the Baltimore Ravens, who are another Jekyll and Hyde team, coming off just a pitiful performance against Pittsburgh. Are they able to go into Oakland and beat the Raiders with E.J. Manuel without Michael Crabtree? I don't know about that, if they're going to be able to rally. You also got another Baltimore was throttled by Jacksonville, of all teams, earlier this year, too. So they're sort of an up-and-down team. At home, I think Oakland can win that game by three. I'll take Oakland in the three-point game, and you don't win any money, but you don't lose any money. The other game, the game of the week at 4:25 will be Dallas and Green Bay. The Packers go into Dallas. Packers had a nice victory last week. They seem to be putting things together, and they're also a contender in the NFC along with the Atlanta Falcons. Dallas' defense is horrendous. That's a bad loss to lose to the LA Rams at home, especially a second-year quarterback and a first-year coach. To lose the way they do, Green Bay also had a lot of confidence going into Dallas and beating the Cowboys last year with a field goal in the playoffs to send Green Bay to the championship game, ending Dallas' season last year. What a great, if your team's not going to make the playoffs, you want your rival to be knocked off like that. Green Bay going into Dallas getting 2.5. I definitely would take the Packers with the points. I think this game, the over-under, which is the combined score of the both teams, is 52.5, which is really high. I think this is going to be a shootout because defense is just really not a good defense. They gave up, you know, like I said, 35 points to Jared Goff and the Rams. They gave up 40-some points to Trevor Siemian and the Denver. Slow down Aaron Rodgers and that Green Bay offense, and I think Green Bay's defense is playing a lot better. As mentioned before, the 8:30 game is Kansas City going into Houston. And it's a game where Kansas City Lions now down to 1 point that Kansas City is favored by. Looking at this game by 1 point, Houston getting 1 point at home. It's pretty much a pick'em game, which means basically if you were going to pick a team to win, who would you pick? And if you go back to Cleveland and the Jets going into Cleveland, you got to like the home team. With this game, who I think is going to win the game? I think Kansas City will win the game. I think their experience, and then they also have a couple of weeks tape on a rookie quarterback. And then Kansas City, like I said, coming off some tough but good home wins, has momentum. It also gives a chance to solidify them not so much as the favorite for the not only as the favorite for the AFC team, but I think for the Super Bowl overall. And I think they can go into Houston and beat the rookie quarterback. Kansas City's defense is a lot better than Tennessee's defense. And the Monday night game is kind of an NFC North division rivalry. You have the Vikings without Sam Bradford going into a pretty bad Chicago team, getting 2.5 points. Minnesota is favored by 2.5 points. Chicago is the home team. I think this game, Chicago is also starting the rookie quarterback. They traded up to Mitch Trubisky out of that quarterback factory, just kidding, UNC. They traded all the way up to number, switched places with the 49ers from 3 to 2 just to grab them. And he makes his rookie debut at home, so the team's going to have some energy around them. Chicago has a lot of they have a lot of time off. Sorry, they've had 2 weeks off. They played the Thursday game last week, so that's, 9-10 days off. Minnesota without their quarterback, but yet they can still win with the backup quarterback in there. I think overall, with this game being in Chicago Monday night, the rookie quarterback, even with Minnesota's stout defense, playing against a rookie quarterback, I think Chicago can make some noise here. And then I think they will call. I'll take Chicago with the points. Minnesota may win the game one or two points, so as long as not a field goal. I will take Chicago at home with the points, 2.5. 2.5 is a hard line to bet upon, but that's the way it's looking. The show doesn't have much more time left because I got started a little late on it. We only have about 2 minutes and 53 seconds left in this week, but we went through the lines. Going back to the Eagles game, like I said, I think Arizona always gives us, no, I don't think I know, that they give us historically, have given us so much trouble over the years. It's sort of like that off team that, you know, have our number, especially Larry Fitzgerald and some other guys on that team. They just seem to put it together against us. I don't think they'll win the game. I think Cardinals go on a road, 2 road games in a week, especially coming off a tough game against a surprisingly tough game against the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco last week. Sure, Arizona wins the game, they get some momentum. But when you play division rivals the week before in close games and go on the road, it's just a tricky situation. You know, there's a lot of energy involved. You know, you have an old quarterback, Carson Palmer. You have Larry Fitzgerald, who's still great and a Hall of Famer, but he doesn't have the speed that he does, that he used to have. But they're still a dangerous team, especially if the offensive line of the Arizona Cardinals can somehow neutralize the Eagles' pass rush, which the Eagles will have to rely heavily on this week. Then it could be a game, I think, on the other side with the injury to Wendell Smallwood. Also, they lost Darren Sproles for the year. The Eagles, you know, it's going to force the Eagles to pass a little bit more. And the Cardinals have a great pass defense, anchored by two LSU grads, Peterson, and also the safety, Tyrone Lue, the Honey Badger. I think winning this game has to be, you know, it's going to have to be short stuff underneath. I think they're going to have to establish the run again, both using Blount and the rookie Corey Clement to set up the screen game. I think if they're able to effectively run some screens in there, I think the Eagles will win the game. But like I said, I think the Cardinals will hang in there. The Cardinals also know that Seattle is the Rams this week, so the Cardinals are going to want to have to do a good showing. Sneak away with a non-divisional win. While Seattle loses, I think they're going to want to have that game, to play this game as tough as possible. Only about 45 seconds left. It's been a Matt Kwasaborski show calling me this week from up next week, so the show will be maybe a little bit off from the East Coast starting time. It's been a fantastic ride so far. I'm really enjoying getting back into the podcast game more publicly, more consistent with it. Just last week, there was no chance for me to really set up the podcast. So remember to inspire the inspiration. Don't wait for the inspiration to inspire you. Enjoy week 5 in the NFL, everybody. Have a great day and a great weekend. Ciao.